Amazon Q Business is the generative AI assistant from AWS, because business can be slow, like wading through mud. But Amazon Q helps streamline work, so tasks like summarizing monthly results can be done in no time. Learn what Amazon Q Business can do for you at aws.com/learnmore.
Welcome to Tech News Briefing. It's Friday, December 20th. I'm Danny Lewis for The Wall Street Journal. Oreos and Chips Ahoy may not be the first things that come to mind when you hear the words artificial intelligence. But snack behemoth Mondelez, which owns the popular cookie brands, is turning to AI tools to speed up the creation of new recipes. Just ahead, we'll hear how and what this means for your supermarket snack aisle. And later, is the real future of face computers lower tech than Apple's Vision Pro or the Meta Quest 3 headset? WSJ senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern joins us to explain why Meta's Ray-Ban smart glasses may be the forerunners to a mixed reality future. But first, Mondelez International is the giant behind snacks like Sour Patch Kids, Ritz Crackers, and Clif Bars. And now, Mondelez has built a generative AI tool to help its food scientists come up with new products and tweak recipes faster than ever before. WSJ reporter Isabel Bousquet has been following this, and she joins us now with more. So, Isabel, is AI coming for Oreos?
AI is here for Oreos. It's already happening, and you don't even know. I didn't realize this, but actually, the recipe for snacks like Oreos and Chips Ahoy and Ritz Crackers, it's changed several times over the years, and it continues to change. Companies like Mondelez continue to iterate on it. And then in addition to that, they are also constantly, as I'm sure you've seen in the snack aisle, rolling out new brand offshoots and minis and thins and gluten-frees
right.
and golden Oreos. So they are just constantly in this position of having to come up with and test new recipes. And AI is playing a bigger and bigger role in that process.
How is Mondelez now then using AI? You know, what are some examples for how it's using it in this whole process?
Yeah, so they developed this tool essentially. And this tool has an interface where you can go in and it includes a number of different characteristics like appearance, aroma, taste, and you can choose which characteristics you want to optimize for. You know, maybe you want to, you know, optimize for a certain level of chocolate chips in the appearance or the roundness of the edge or the perforation of the edge or the amount of holes in it. And some are weird, like vanilla intensity or butteriness or egg flavor. And then this AI tool will generate a handful of various kinds of recipes that might fit the bill. And then in this lab in New Jersey, which is set up like a high school chemistry lab, they'll actually cook the recipes and then they'll feed it to the staff and see what people think.
So how is the AI then changing the process? What's different now that this is getting involved versus how they used to do it before?
Yeah, the process is not fundamentally different. It's just a lot faster and more efficient. In the past, it would be a manual process for the food scientist based on their own expertise, just trial and error, create some new recipe options to try. But the AI is essentially getting you to the recipe that you want to get to a lot faster. They're saying 4 to 5 times faster, essentially.
Who made the AI model that Mondelez is using?
So they started developing this a few years ago with a software consultancy called Fourkind, and it was later acquired by ThoughtWorks. So they're still working with ThoughtWorks on that. And the ThoughtWorks engineers do the feature coding and stuff, and then they're working with the tech team at Mondelez, who has all this juicy proprietary data on things like the actual recipe of what an Oreo is.
So proprietary recipes are really big secret in the snack world.
Yeah.
Does Mondelez and companies like it, its rivals, have concern about what AI tools might do with that information?
In this instance, they own the tool. It's not a public tool. It's not ChatGPT. In this instance, that information getting leaked isn't really a risk. It's also worth mentioning that a lot of times today when we talk about AI, we're talking about generative AI. This is not that. This is a more traditional kind of AI known as machine learning, and it's very structured and it's a lot more controlled and predictable.
Isabel Bousquet covers enterprise technology and AI for The Wall Street Journal. Coming up, a few years ago, Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg went all in on the idea of a high-tech virtual reality metaverse. But could a different and simpler Meta product be the real future of this technology? That's after the break.
Amazon Q Business is the new generative AI assistant from AWS because many tasks can make business slow, as if wading through mud.
Help?
Luckily, there's a faster, easier, less messy choice. Amazon Q can securely understand your business data and use that knowledge to streamline tasks. Now you can summarize quarterly results or do complex analysis in no time. Q got this. Learn what Amazon Q Business can do for you at aws.com/learnmore.
Bulky headsets like the Meta Quest 3 and Apple Vision Pro have been held up as the gateway into a world of mixed reality computing, where digital information is overlaid onto the real world in front of your eyes, just like a heads-up display in a first-person video game. But WSJ senior personal tech columnist Joanna Stern says a different Meta product may actually be where this technology is headed. She joins us now. Joanna, what's so great about the Ray-Ban Meta smart glasses?
How do I list the things I love about these? Look, it's pretty simple. These are just sunglasses with a camera, mic, and speakers. They're sort of dumb smart glasses because they don't do that much. There's no screen in them. They're not showing you anything, but you can hear things in your ear and you can take pictures with them. And for me, I have just become obsessed with taking these out in the world, especially when I'm with my kids on the weekends or on vacations, because I don't have to hold a phone in front of my face to always take a video or a photo. And that's the number one thing I really love about these glasses is you just are seeing the world through regular sunglass lenses, but you're also able to just say, hey, Meta, take a picture or take a video.
So you've tested a lot of face computers this year, including the Apple Vision Pro mixed reality headset. What makes a pair of slightly techie sunglasses better, in your opinion?
Look, these are two different products. But what makes them similar is we're putting a computer on our face, and all the big tech companies are obsessed with making a world where we wear these computers on our face. And the question for me has always been, why do we want to wear the computer on our face? With the Meta Ray-Bans, they've convinced me it makes sense to put this thing on my face. In fact, the beginning of the column, I talk about this experience where I forgot them. I forgot them when I went mini golfing with my kids. And I was really upset. Like, I got there. I was like, oh, how am I gonna take photos of my kids? How am I going to do this? It's changed that habit. And so that's one of the things that really sold me on this idea of smart glasses, because I wasn't totally sure we wanted to put these things on our face. And then earlier in the year, I did review the Apple Vision Pro, and I had a similar question. Why would I want to put something like this on my face? It's big. It's really just big. I mean, that's my biggest complaint about it. It's expensive, but let's just pretend it didn't cost money right now. What would I do with it? And I discovered with that one really interesting use case was cooking, where I could see digital information overlaid in my world. And that's what Apple's trying to do with its Vision Pro. And that's what everyone is really trying to do in this industry, is get to a place where we can have glasses that show us digital information in our line of sight that is overlaid in the real world. And so that is what Meta's trying to do. That is what Apple's trying to do. Apple took it in one direction with this Vision Pro. Meta's also tried to do similar with their Quest headsets. But I also got to get a look recently at something that Meta's doing, which is a prototype, because it's not ready yet, but it gives you a real glimpse of what might happen when we get this technology that those big headsets have into a smaller design that looks closer to regular glasses.
You tested the Meta Orion. That's an augmented reality eyewear prototype. What does that look like?
So this is a complete prototype for Meta. They are not shipping this, but they wanted to give people a sense of where they were at right now in this journey of making smart glasses. And these are glasses that look like pretty average glasses, like the glasses you're wearing now, but chunkier. It's not perfect in terms of design, but they're real lenses versus what you have on the Vision Pro or with the Meta Quest headsets is those are actually screens in there that you're looking at. Here, you're looking at real lenses through the world like you would with normal glasses, but there's a holographic display in there. And it is projecting, a digital interface over your real world. So I put on these glasses, I see a app menu, I'm able to then use my hands. It actually uses this special neural band. You put it on your wrist and its sensors are tracking your muscle movements. So you can actually just pinch in the air to select things, move your hands around. Your hand is basically the mouse. And you're able to see things. I was able to browse the web. So my big takeaway here was these are not ready. In fact, you can listen to me ask Alex Himmel, who's the head of wearables at Meta, how much they cost.
Those cost thousands of dollars each to make. I mean, the main reason that we're not launching them right now is we want to dial in the manufacturing and bring down the cost so that they're easier to scale and more affordable. We want them to be comparable to, you know, high-end phones and laptops when they come on sale.
What is the signal for where AR technology is headed next?
What we're really at is two extremes. Right now, we're with these kind of dumb smart glasses, these Ray-Bans that cost $300, and they're really fun, and anyone can go and buy and use, but you don't get a ton of information in your real world. To this really other big extreme, where it's literally big, big, bulky headsets that are expensive, and they're very powerful, and they show you this digital interface in your real world. And that is what we've got with the Vision Pro and the Meta Quest, and that's the two ends we're at right now. Orion is what's in the middle here. That's what these companies are trying to get to. Of course, they're going to want them to be smaller and more stylish, but what they're trying to get to is a normal-looking pair of glasses with lenses where you can actually see digital info in your real world. And that's a ways off, and there's a few reasons for that, but I also did ask Meta about that as well and how they plan to get there.
There's a number of advances. Obviously, the biggest difference between these is the display. There's no display in these, so we have a pretty substantial investment in different display technologies that we're parallel pathing. And we'll bring multiple technologies and sizes and form factors to market in our roadmap.
And so while Orion is pretty far away, and you've now heard him say they're going to be working on these other types of devices, I reported that Meta is going to release in 2025 a pair of Ray-Bans or something similar to Ray-Bans with a small screen inside the lens. It won't be as advanced as Orion, but it will be a step towards it. And in fact, after I posted the article, Mark Zuckerberg responded and said, quote, "Next year is a big year for Meta glasses."
That was our senior personal tech columnist, Joanna Stern. And that's it for Tech News Briefing. Today's show was produced by Julie Chang. I'm your host, Danny Lewis. Jessica Fenton and Michael LaValle wrote our theme music. Our supervising producer is Catherine Millsop. Our development producer is Aisha Al-Muslim. Scott Salloway and Chris Zinsley are the deputy editors, and Philana Patterson is the Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. We'll be back this afternoon with TNB Tech Minute. Thanks for listening.
Amazon Q Business is the new generative AI assistant from AWS because many tasks can make business slow, as if wading through mud.
Help!
Luckily, there's a faster, easier, less messy choice. Amazon Q can securely understand your business data and use that knowledge to streamline tasks. Now you can summarize quarterly results or do complex analysis in no time. Q got this. Learn what Amazon Q Business can do for you at aws.com/learnmore.